Natalia did not exist before this episode. What they're about to describe is happening across Yorkshire and the Humber as you listen. This is their story. NHS workforce planning has collapsed across one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, where training places for mental health nursing sit empty while wards operate dangerously understaffed. The machinery exists to train the nurses Leeds South desperately needs, but Treasury spending limits have severed the connection between aspiration and opportunity.
My mom came from Krakow to Leeds in 2001 to work as a healthcare assistant at Leeds General Infirmary. She used to say the NHS saved her twice. First, when it gave her a job, then when it treated my dad's cancer without bankrupting us. I grew up watching her come home exhausted from double shifts, but she never complained. She'd say the work mattered too much for complaints. I knew I wanted to follow her into healthcare, but I wanted to specialize. During sixth form, I volunteered with the crisis helpline for young people. That's when I discovered mental health nursing. It felt like the perfect combination of my mom's compassion and the specific skills I wanted to develop. I could see how desperately those services were needed. In 2019, I applied to study mental health nursing at the University of Leeds. I was accepted. Then, Health Education England told me there were no funded places available that year due to Treasury spending limits. They said I should try again next year. I spent that year working as a care assistant at Middleton Park Care Home, thinking the experience would strengthen my application. When 2020 came, I reapplied to the University of Leeds. Same response. Health Education England's budget had been capped again. They suggested I try Leeds Beckett University instead. I applied to Leeds Beckett. Same answer. There is no funding, they told me. The budget has been cut. It sounded reasonable at the time. Everyone was saying the same thing. Austerity was still the accepted wisdom. I accepted it too. I took a job as a support worker with Leeds and York Partnership NHS Foundation Trust, thinking clinical experience would help my application the following year. The wards were desperately understaffed. We were constantly being asked to cover extra shifts. Nurses were leaving faster than they could be replaced. It was clear the NHS needed more mental health nurses, not fewer. In 2021, I went to the University of Leeds nursing building to collect application forms for another attempt. That's when I saw the contradiction with my own eyes. The building was huge, purpose-built for nursing education. I walked past lecture halls designed for 100 students, all sitting empty. I passed classrooms fitted out for mental health training scenarios, mock ward environments where students could practice therapeutic conversations, all locked and unused. The equipment was there, the space was there, the teaching staff were there. I overheard two administrators talking by the lift. One said they'd had to turn away 60 qualified applicants that year because Health Education England's budget had been capped again. 60 people who wanted to train as mental health nurses. People like me. I stood in that corridor looking at empty classrooms while remembering the chaos on the wards where I worked. The same wards where my colleagues were burning out, where patients weren't getting the care they needed, where managers kept saying they couldn't recruit enough mental health nurses. The people existed. The training facilities existed. The need certainly existed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? That's when it started to make sense differently. The UK government issues the pound. It doesn't need to find pounds before it spends them. When Health Education England said there was no funding, they meant the Treasury had decided not to create the funding. That's not the same thing as the funding not existing. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still working in mental health services, still watching qualified, motivated people get turned away from training programs, while the wards, they could be working on struggle with dangerous staffing levels. I understand now that this isn't just my story or just Leeds South story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare.
What Natalia experienced has a name: impossible expectations. This technique works by demanding a guarantee of perfect outcomes before committing public investment, a standard never applied to other spending. Think of a pharmaceutical company insisting their new drug must have zero side effects before any trials begin, an impossible standard that would halt all medical progress. Now, watch how this operates in healthcare workforce planning. Every time Health Education England said there is no funding, they were applying impossible expectations. They demanded certainty that every training place would produce a nurse who stayed in the NHS for decades, in the exact specialty needed, in the precise geographic location. Any possibility of someone changing careers, moving regions, or specialising differently was treated as waste that justified training nobody. The same Treasury that approved immediate bailouts for banks during financial crises, with no guarantee those banks wouldn't fail again, insisted that nurse training required impossible guarantees. Tax cuts for corporations proceed without proof they create jobs, but nurse training was blocked unless it could promise perfect outcomes. The austerity objection was always, the NHS is a bottomless pit. We cannot keep throwing money at it. This sets an impossible standard where no evidence of need is ever sufficient. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. And in Leeds South, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Leeds South ranks 13 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation, English Indices of Deprivation, 20-25, MHCLG. The area has 1,614 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Total grants received, £34.9 million, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.